It's good to have the Bolus with us today, and I appreciate the presentation. I always like to see what's going on, and it's exciting to hear all that's going on in Fiji. So, Brother Bolo, why don't you come ahead, sir, and preach. And again, there's water down here in the glass.
Well, it's been exciting for us since we've been back for the last 6 months. This month will be the sixth month since we've been on the road, and I've done that a few times, but I've not done that with a family. But with a family, it's kind of exciting and interesting. Amen. You got kids strapped back there for 10 hours, 12 hours, 15 hours, and stuff like that. So we kind of try and make it exciting in between services and, you know, seeing some sights and stuff like that. But overall, it's been a blessing, amen. We do not say that it's been rough, but we count it as a blessing because we just love serving the Lord, amen. It's exciting. Our kids like it. Our kids get to see almost and meet new friends almost on a weekly basis, and it's exciting to see what God is doing in our family here on furlough. And also, while we are also in contact with our ministry in Fiji, and already it's Monday morning there, like I mentioned this morning, and the day, it's a day ahead. And yesterday, they had a baby dedication for four couples. Amen. So the interim pastor there had their first baby. And is a preacher cousin of mine who's about an hour and a half away, who helps out over there, went to our church and dedicated their children. And most of these couples, baby dedication is a pretty new thing to them because they've been born out of, they've been saved out of Methodists, saved out of Catholicism. And for these young couples to dedicate their children, it's a pretty new thing to the culture and the family as a whole. And so for them, stepping out by faith and knowing that God will bless their families, you know, is exciting. Amen. I remember when I got saved and the preacher told me that I needed to be baptized culturally and traditionally. You know, my grandfather started 13 Methodist churches, and it was normal for all of us to be in that church. But when I got saved out of Methodism, I don't know if that's a word, when I got saved out of that and got baptized, it was a big, you know, a big no-no to the family. And to when you talk about family in the islands, almost everybody's related, amen? This one's, you know, I'm this one's cousins, cousins, brothers, sisters, you know, uncles, you know, and stuff like that. So for them to get out of that culture and tradition and religion is a big step. So pray for our ministry in Fiji. We are excited to be seeing what God is doing over there as we also see what God is doing here. Amen. I don't know if I mentioned this morning, I didn't give much report what God's doing over there. Since we've been in the islands over there for the last 15 years, we've started three churches, and our mother church at Liberty is the mother church there in our town of Mba. And we've started two other churches out of Liberty Baptist Church. Lord willing, when we get back in May of next year, we want to start a fourth church up in my wife's town or wife's city, where my wife's from, and we want to start a fourth church over there. So if you can pray for that, we have property already that has been donated to us as a church, and my wife's family, talking about family, we're talking about relatives. They own quite an amount of land in that city, and the family has given our church the property. It's about an acre. So we want to build the First Baptist Church on that city. It's Fiji's third largest city and a town of about, I think, 55,000 to 65,000 people. And so if you can pray for that, that would be a blessing. Amen. Pray for the right person to go there and take that work. So if you can pray for that, we are praying that one of our college students that have graduated, who was called to preach, but now is working a secular job. Just the other day we were talking to him, and we're praying that he would take that work, but it's up to the Lord. Amen. So if you can pray for that, that'll be wonderful. And also, as we return, we want to start an orphanage. We have a lot of children who's been neglected from home. Fiji and the islands out there is not the same like 30, 40 years ago. 30, 40 years ago, everybody's kind of interrelated, so to speak, and everybody cared for one another. That was, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, but not anymore. Fiji's getting to be a country where everybody just feeds for themselves, and you know, there are more beggars in town now, and more people that are homeless, and that has caused also for children or mothers to neglect their babies in hospitals and stuff like that. So I think it is our job as a church to come in and nurture these children and babies and bring them up in the home, the orphanage that we will start there, and Lord willing, put them through our Christian school system. And when they get to be about 15, 16 years old, we can channel right them into the Bible college. And then when they finish a couple of years of Bible college training, they should be ready to be church planters and preachers' wives. Amen? So if, Brother Navi, that's about, you're talking 15, 20 years. Well, we're in this work in the long run. Amen? God's going to do something in those children's lives, and who knows? God can do something in the lives of those children when they are nurtured and also they are grown in the nurture and admonition of the Lord right inside the local church. So if you can pray with us on that, that would be appreciated. Amen. like I mentioned this morning, in Fiji, we bus everybody in, bus everybody back, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night for youth, and any other special meetings we have. Not many of our people have cars. I think only one of our family have a car, and the rest we have to bring everybody in. And pray for that need. We need an engine for one of our buses. Amen. We needed $5,000 for that. I've already sent $500. And we need another $4,500. So if we can pray that God would meet that need so that we can get this bus that's been down for, I think, a couple of years. I've already refaced the head three times. I don't know if any of you guys understand any mechanic will work. I've done three times already, and my mechanic's telling me we cannot, shave it anymore. Amen. The only thing we can do is replace it and replace an engine with that. So if you can pray for that and see what the Lord would do, that would be appreciated. All right, Romans chapter 10. When preacher said turn to Romans chapter 10 this morning, I was kind of worried because that was going to be my message tonight. And I was kind of comfortable as he read down to all the way down to verse number 10, 11, and 12, 13, 14, and he said, and I said, stop there. You have to, you have to stop there. And then he said, just go ahead and read 15. And I said, that's my verse. But we'll go ahead and read that verse again tonight. I'm sure we could have started in verse number 11, but I want us to pick up the verse let's go up to verse number 14. Romans chapter 10 in verse number 14. The Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard, believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who have believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your local church gathered together. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God that was preached this morning. Thank you for the decisions that were made. Lord, we pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Hide me behind the cross, and Lord, I pray that you will use this message to challenge us this wonderful evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Maybe sit in. Missions is the heartbeat of our righteous God. You say amen to that? Missions is the heartbeat of our righteous God. It is important that we know that how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? The whole world needs the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the question that we need to ask ourselves is, how can they hear? And the answer to that is, except they be sent. Amen? Amen? It is exciting that Calvary Baptist Church sends a couple of missionaries out there. I mean, you as a family of God, you have a local church, do have a couple of missionaries. I think you have about two, three your families that are sent out of Calvary Baptist Church. That is wonderful. It is important that we just not support missionaries, but we are also sending people out. In Isaiah 45:22, the Bible says, look unto me, and be ye saved, and all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, who will have all men to be saved, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? In 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The mission of the church is missions. Oswald J. Smith said that. Amen? The mission of the church is missions. We know the Apostle Paul was a missionary at heart. He took several missionary journeys. Yeah, you cannot read of his missionary journeys and his evangelism and his establishments without realizing that Paul did not have one negative or second thought about what he was doing. Amen? Now, you ask those missionaries that are sent out of here, or you ask me, are you sure you want to go to that field? They are sure. They are 100% sure. Amen? It bothers me that, with a missionary family or somewhere in a church and come to find out years later, or they never made it. Something happened. He had doubts about his calling, or something happened about. And the thing is, they're not sure. I mean, we need to understand that the Apostle Paul, he was sure about where he was going. Hello, I mean, if God's called you to preach, God's called you to preach. And I like that statement, like one preacher said, you know, when God's called you to preach, you better answer to him down here than up there. Amen? Amen. It is important that we understand that the Apostle Paul, he was sure. Paul fulfilled the ministry God gave him, and in being his chosen vessel of what God did. In Acts chapter 9, in verse 15, the Bible says, "For he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Now, sometimes we need to ask ourselves, what does it take a missionary to be able to go to the field? What does it take? Is there something that that missionaries answer to? What defines a missionary? What defines his work? How do I know if I am called to be a preacher? Or how do I know that I am called to be a missionary? Or how do I know that I am supposed to be a... by the way, missionaries are preachers. Amen? But the difference is they are called to a foreign land. And the thing is, missionaries are not second-class preachers. Hello? Am I saying the right thing? Yeah. Some churches or some people think, well, missionaries are kind of, I've got our preacher, then I've got our evangelist, and here comes missionaries. No, God called them the same way God called every one of us preachers. Amen? The thing is, we're just serving in different capacities. It is important that we understand what that is. So the thing is, we need to understand that, number one, there is an inescapable pressure when it comes to being called to be a missionary or called to do the work of God in the foreign land. Well, what about you, Navi? You are back in your homeland. Well, tell you the truth, I could have served the Lord here in America. Amen? America is a beautiful place. I mean, you got those big, we're going to have hamburgers tonight, big hamburgers. Big cars, nice coffee, nice freeways to drive in. America is good. Amen? Amen? But let me tell you something. God called me back to those islands. And if you come to my town of Mba, who comes to Mba? Nobody goes to Mba. If you understand what that place is. Amen? I'm a city boy. I grew up in the city, in the main capital of Suva. And my wife is from another island up there in the north. And God called both of us to come to this small town of Mba of about 35, 40,000 people and minister to some sugarcane farmers and over there. And we've been doing it for the last 15 years. Even though it's the islands, it is in a different place. You understand what I'm saying? You know, someone will say, "Oh, you're from America? Do you know so-and-so?" You know, we have Americans that come to Fiji and preach, the preachers. And, some folks will say, "Oh, you're from America? Do you know so-and-so from..." they have no idea that America is such a big place. Amen? You don't even know anybody from Kansas City, let alone Knobnoster. Amen? But even though we are serving in the islands, it's in a different location where we are. But the thing is, I had to be able to answer to God because God is the one that called me to preach the word of God. Amen? He's the one that says, I want to send you, like we see in verse number 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? In Romans chapter 1, we saw this morning, it was Paul's desire that Israel be saved. Amen? And it is the same that it is my desire that the islands of Fiji be saved. Amen. That is what is inside of my heart. If you open my heart, you will know that those words are written there. Or I can tell you the fact that, brethren, it is my heart's desire that those islanders get saved. They need to get saved out of Catholicism. They need to get saved out of Methodist. They need to get saved out of Hinduism. They need to get saved out of Islam. And you name it, they're there. Paul was not being an echo of an echo. Paul was the echo for God. Paul showed his heart and the depth of his concern. And we see that. Amen. Paul had a holy and a burning desire for the salvation for his own people. So does Navimbola and his family. It is our desire that the people in the islands get saved. When I first started the Bible college, some preacher said, "Why are you starting that Bible college?" We needed to start it so that we can be able to train islanders for the gospel ministry. Amen? Paul had a burning desire for the Jews. He was a Jew at heart. By his own testimony, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He understood the heart of a typical Jew. He understood exactly how they lived. One good thing about serving in the islands, and as we went back to the islands, I didn't have to learn another language. Amen? I mean, I feel for these missionaries that go into a foreign land that have no idea what they're saying. I mean, I would feel like a foreigner. You know, they're talking about me. They're talking about my family. You know, you're trying to start a church and they're all yapping away in their own language. You're like, I don't know about this. But thank God that when I went back to Fiji, I knew Fijian. Amen. When I went back to Fiji, I knew English. They spoke in English, but thank the Lord that God was able to get, to answer that inescapable pressure. I remember the time I surrendered to preach. I walked up the island. The preacher asked me, "Why are you up here?" And I said, "I don't know, preacher, but I think God's telling me something." And, the preacher knew that the Holy Spirit of God was tagging on my heart. And my preacher said, "Is God calling you to preach?" And I said, "That's it. That's what God is doing in my heart. I just couldn't put a finger on it." Amen? When my preacher said, "Is God calling you to preach?" I said, "Exactly. That is what God is doing in my heart." And when I surrendered to preach, I've been preaching for the last 21 years. We need to answer that call. By the way, if God is calling you to preach, you better answer that call. Amen? You better answer that call here. God can call you to preach when you're a teenager. God can call you to preach when you're in your 20s. God can call you to preach when, if you are willing to answer that inescapable pressure. Every true servant of God is defined by the pressure that is inescapable. Every Sunday morning, every preacher has to get up to the pulpit and preach the word. Amen? One of our college students, I was at his ordination at his church. And I was asked to speak and give a few comments about his ordination, I stood up and I said, "Brother, one thing you need to remember is this. Sunday is coming." Amen? After this Sunday is over, I told him, "Sunday is coming again. And you better believe that God is speaking to you, and you need to get hold of God because next Sunday is coming." And I told him that in his face, in front of his church and all the other preachers that were there. I said, "Next Sunday is coming. And when you're done with next Sunday, you got to remember, Sunday is coming again." It is an inescapable pressure. Have you ever showed up to church one day and you look around, where's the preacher? He's not here. What happened? Is that what every church member does? What happened to the preacher? He's not here. Who's going to preach? Yeah. Oh, what are we going to do? I mean, you have that mindset that the preacher is going to get up there. And let me tell you something. It's not an easy job getting hold of God on a weekly basis and seeing what God would do But that's exactly what we are doing. Amen? That's exactly what I am doing. That is exactly what I am teaching in those Bible college students as I tell them, remember, Sunday is coming and your people are expecting some miracles from God. You just can't get up here and say, well, let's sing a few hymns. Well, let's sing a few more hymns. And let's have some testimony time. I tell our preacher boys that, pastorology class, I tell them, your people want to hear from God, and you better be ready. Amen? And I am so thankful that when our preachers graduate and when they receive that diploma, when they go out and start churches, I can see the zeal that is in their hearts. I can see that they are not just, ordinary, well, I got my BA. I can know that they are a true Baptist. Amen? They can stand the truth for the word of God, and they know that they are answering that inescapable pressure. Number two, we need to realize, with same as the Apostle Paul, and same as a missionary, he is what he's doing is answering. Mission is about the inescapable pressure, a pressure that drives a man day and night, night and day, to win men to Christ. And number two, he also has the inexcusable problem. Amen? He has an inexcusable problem. Look with me in verse number 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not heard, believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Paul exclaims the richness of salvation, like we heard this morning. Amen? Salvation is so rich. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, that is the most powerful thing that can ever happen to someone's life. Can you say amen to that? I mean, I love the way the preacher said, when you got saved, you got saved, and if you don't want to be saved, it's too late. Have you ever met some people that, well, I didn't really want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. That guy, forced it down my throat. Well, are you saved? Yes. Well, you are saved. You cannot lose your salvation, amen? Yeah. I tell people, if you get saved, just, you are a child of God. What are you going to do? Get scratched out from the book of life? No. You are. Your name is in there. Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A salvation that has no boundaries. Amen? A salvation that is free to all who call on the name of the Lord. But he was aware of a problem. Not everyone has heard of Christ and the salvation he offers. Amen? He said in Matthew 9, the field is what? Wide unto harvest. I mean, he said that back in those Bible days, and he's still saying that today. The need for missionaries are still great in this world today. Don't you think that, oh man, we are sending missionaries, bless God, they're going out? Let me ask you a question. What about you? What are you doing? Serving the Lord. He offers and also he presents the problem at hand. Has four questions that we've seen in that particular verse. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? My goodness, those are four questions that need to be answered. Let me ask you a question. What are you doing about those four questions? Maybe somebody here is going to be a missionary. Well, I don't know where to go, but the first thing you can do is surrender to preach. Amen? Yeah, surrender to preach. God is always calling preachers. God will never say, okay, we've had enough. No, that angel just sent me a coder for 2015. We are good. God's not going to say that. God is always wanting people to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And by the way, these preachers need wives. Amen? And then these preachers need wives to help them in the ministry. These are valid questions. These questions present the issue or the crux of the problem, an inexcusable problem that needs to be answered. And who's going to answer it? It's going to be answered inside the local church. The Holy Spirit is not going to go around Kansas City looking for one. Well, church is in there, but not in the streets of Kansas City. Amen? He's not going to zoom in to the stealth bombers of Knob Noster Air Force Base and say, let's see who can preach around here. He's looking inside the church at Calvary Baptist Church. That's how God works today. He works through the local church. We need to understand that the message is real. Look with me in verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom have they not heard? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not and not heard? The message has not reached millions and millions of people. It is important that we understand. In China, and no, we need to know this. In China, there are 516 groups of people. 427 are unreached. In India, there are 2,533 people groups. 2,222 are unreached. In Mongolia, there are 22 groups of people. 19 are unreached. Indonesia, there are 784 people groups. 200 are unreached. Sudan, there are 246 people groups. 138 are unreached. In Iran, there are 103 people groups. Most of them are unreached. Pakistan, 463 people groups. Thailand, 114 people groups. Most of them unreached. Let me tell you something. Those are statistics that we need to get hold of and say, what should I do about this issue? Because they need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people ask the question, well, what if people that have not been reached, will they still die and go to hell? Well, that's what the Bible says. If they don't know Jesus Christ, they'll die and go to hell. And who's responsible for that? Us. You. Amen? We need to reach the unreached people so that they can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. These are people of the world who have not heard or been reached by the gospel message. Oswald Smith said, we talk of the second coming. Half of the world has never heard of the first. Are you listening? 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. What about you? What are you doing? We have a mandate that we have to follow. Romans 10:14, on the second part of that passage of Scripture, the Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Let me tell you something, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ has given the church a mandate. And that mandate is like we heard this morning in Acts 1:8 and also in Matthew 28:19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This mandate encompasses everything that the Lord has in mind. God said, I'll be with you always. That's what he meant. Amen? Yep. Well, how am I going to get there? That's not your worry. You just surrender. Well, I heard that you're going to have to raise so much money. Hey, don't let that be an issue. You just surrender. Amen? Well, I'm going to leave my loved ones. Don't worry about that. God's going to give you comfort and peace. Amen? The mandate is given to the church. We are to saturate. We are to plant churches. We are to win souls. We are to disciple. We are to bring them into the church. And we are to reproduce them in the process. You heard a young man who's been in Samoa right now. He's a missionary there. Got saved at our church at 12 years old. You saw on the video. He got saved at 12 years old. Now he's a missionary to Samoa. Saved out of our ministry. Now serving the Lord over there in the islands of Samoa. What are we doing? That's exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing. Reproducing ourselves. Amen? And what he's going to do, he's almost doing the exact Bible Institute over there in Samoa, training more young men over there so that they can what? They can be trained and then be sent out of that church where he's at working. What's going on? It's a reproduction of what the gospel is doing and what the gospel can do. It is something that we need to answer to. Amen? How shall they hear without a preacher? How are these people going to hear? Is the question. And I'm glad you're asking that question, because we need to answer those questions. We need to realize that there's also a shortage of missionaries. Amen? Don't ever have that in your concept of your mind, that we've reached the amount of missionaries that we need to send. Or we need to send. No, we'll never get there. Well, how many missionaries are we sending right now? We are sending missionaries. But the question is, how shall they preach except they be sent? The problem is a shortage of missionaries. Jesus spoke of this problem when he said that, like I said, in Matthew 9:37, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Maybe there's somebody here that could answer that call. Amen? Maybe there's somebody here that could make that statement and say, Lord, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to answer that call. I'm willing to be sent. There was a statistic that was taken one time. It takes 7 fundamental Baptist churches to produce 1 missionary. And at the same time, there are more than 7 Baptist churches that are closing their doors almost on a monthly basis as we speak in the United States alone. So you think to yourself that how are we going to tackle that problem? How are we going to tackle this issue? How are we going to send more missionaries? Well, I haven't been called. Not called. Did you say that? I haven't been called. Did you say that? I think you've not heard the call. Is that what you should be saying? We say amen to that? We need to get back to what the Word of God has for us so that we can know what is my job in fulfilling the Great Commission. And this evening, maybe God is calling you. Like I said, it's better to answer to God down here than answer to Him up there. Can you say amen to that? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? These are 4 valid questions that need to be answered. And it can be answered right here at Calvary Baptist Church. Amen? What are you going to do about those 4 valid questions is the question tonight. Maybe God's speaking to your heart about answering that question. Tonight, do something about it. Let's pray.